In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The word of God for our devotion this morning is the second lesson for today. We read in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's elect, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other if anyone has a complaint against anyone else. Forgive just as Christ forgave you. And in addition to all these things, put on love, which ties things together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And everything you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is God's word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose birth we recently celebrated, dearly loved. The birth of a child indeed is cause for celebration. The birth of Jesus surely is the birth of a human baby, of a human child. Over the weeks preceding Christmas, it was not unusual to hear of a birthday party for the baby Jesus. Even an ordinary human child's birth is reason to rejoice. But even when an ordinary human child is born, we really don't know, do we, all about that child? The child is there in front of us, but we don't know what joys and sorrows that child's going to bring into our lives or that they're going to experience themselves. We don't know what paths that baby will blaze in the future, nor do we know what obstacles they will have to overcome. Really, when you celebrate the birth of a child, you don't really know everything that that birth means for you or for them. There is no such mystery in the special birth of the eternal Son of God as Jesus of Nazareth, is there? We know the joys and the sorrows that his birth brings to us, and that they brought to him. We know the path that he blazed to the cross. We know the obstacles and the hurdles that he had to overcome during his life to be our Savior. The meaning of this birth of this special child is revealed to us and experienced by us in our daily lives. This child, we know, is God's undeserved love for us sinners. This child is Emmanuel, God with us. We look beyond this baby and we see the righteous one come to live under the law and to die on the cross for us, the unrighteous. Earlier in his epistle to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote these words about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus of Nazareth, whose birth we just celebrated, is so much more than an ordinary baby boy. His mother knew that, and she pondered these things in her heart. Simeon knew this, and so he sang that Nunc Dimittis that we sing with communion. Now he could depart in peace because he had seen the Lord's salvation that God had promised him. Anna knew it too and told everybody that in this child there was the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna looked beyond the child, the physical child, to see what his birth means. And this morning, that's what I want you to do. That's what we need to do. We need to look beyond the child and see the gifts that he is. The gift of the Christ is more than the gift of a child. First of all, we'll see that he is the gift of Christian graces. And secondly, that he is the gift of binding love. The Apostle Paul, in a prison cell in Rome, had heard that the Colossians, his holy and faithful brothers at Colossae, were having their faith attacked by enemies who were trying to take them captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. If you're familiar with Paul's letter to the Colossians, you know that the Judaizers were trying to force the Greek Christians to continue to follow, and the Jewish Christians to continue to follow, keeping certain days and festivals and celebrations, that even though they believed in Jesus, they had to continue to follow the ordinances of the law, to take their hearts and consciences captive again to the law. And so the apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he just had to write to them. He just had to write them and encourage them and tell them that they were on his heart and on his mind and in his prayers, that they would not be taken captive by those human philosophies. Paul knew how strong their faith was, and he commended them for their faith. But he also knew how dangerous false doctrine is, how the lies of men and inside ourselves, that desire to go back to trying to get right with God by keeping the law, can be in our lives. So Paul wrote to them to encourage them to stay away from that way of thinking, but to continue to trust only in Christ. And he begins by reminding them that the true and living God has called us to be his own in Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Paul reminded the Colossians, and he reminds us, that we are Christians not because we chose God, but because he chose us in Christ. And now he has covered us, clothed us with the righteousness of Christ, and we are dearly loved in Christ. And so now we are to put on the Christian graces. To put on the Christian graces is to put on Christ. This child is the gift of Christian graces. Paul had written to the Romans, "For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So clothing ourselves through faith puts on Christ, and it puts on the gift of Christian graces. These are the Christian virtues that we manifest in the practical habit that is our Christian life. It's how we go about daily treating others. It is the demarcation line. It's what sets us apart from the unbelievers. This is how people will know that you are the children of God, when we live in these Christian graces. We are to clothe ourselves in them. And what are the individual garments we are to wear to glorify God? And remember, in the Christian graces, we never do them to glorify ourselves. But we always clothe ourselves with them to glorify Christ. And what are they? Heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the virtues, the Christian graces that are ours in Christ. And at the same time, while we are wearing them as our practical habit, as the children of God, at the same time, we do not bear grievances against one another. We do not list and share the grievances that we have against each other. We don't tell people the problems that we have with them. But rather, Paul says, forgive just as Christ forgave you. Yes, sometimes that sin comes into our lives where we hold grievances, where we are not humble, gentle, patient, kind, or compassionate. But we do not let those things take root in our hearts. We don't put them off, those graces, and reclothe ourselves in the rags of our own righteousness or of our love for sin. Forgive just as Christ forgave you. What is the thing that binds all of these graces together? It is binding love. And binding love is Christ. The gift of the Christ, God's anointed one, is more than the gift of a child. What it means for us is the gift of binding love. Now, you know that an unbeliever can show compassion. An unbeliever can show kindness. An unbeliever can be humble. An unbeliever can be gentle and patient. But the difference between them and us is that they do not have that thing that binds it all together. And that is Christ's love for them. The faith in Christ's love for them that now is their love for others. For them, doing these things are mere outward actions to get along. For us, they are the things that are bound in us by the love that Christ has had for us. That love that we now share with others in our lives as Christians. Think back to Paul's words in his letter to the Corinthians, that famous chapter on love, chapter 13. Remember, he says, if you have all Christian virtue, but if you don't have love, then you're like empty noise. Then you're just a sound with nothing behind it. And so Paul here is repeating that same thought as in 1 Corinthians 13. That behind the Christian virtues that we have in Christ is that binding love of Christ for us that we take out and carry out with others. As the apostle continues then, talking about that binding love, most of what he says then is application. You know, we pastors are always trying hard to make sure that we get good applications into our sermons. But there's another part of that. You hearers need to listen and to take those applications out of the sermon and put them into practice in your lives. Don't we hear all the time, I want relevant preaching. Sermons must be relevant. Well, that cuts two ways. Relevant is pastors putting good application into their sermons. And relevant is you listeners taking those applications out of the sermons and putting them into practice in your lives. Well, this morning I didn't really have to look all that hard to put practical application into the sermon because the apostle has already done that for us. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. Use that peace that you have. When you want to be at war with somebody in your family, a friend, somebody at work, a stranger, when you're at war with your guilty conscience, when you're at war with something the Bible says and you really don't want to believe it because you want to continue in your sin, when you want a war with God because of something that's happening or not happening in your life, let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you were called in one body. You don't need to be at war with another human being. You don't need to be at war with your conscience. You don't need to be at war with the Bible or with God, because God has in Christ reconciled us, the entire world, to himself in Christ. We are at peace with God in Christ. And that peace is to control our hearts and put us at peace, and does put us at peace with those other things. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We do so as we teach and admonish one another in doctrine, teaching, in admonishing, but also in singing, in psalms, in the liturgy, all the various ways that Paul talks about here of putting that into practice. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And what that means is that the Bible is not like an axe or a fire hose behind glass on the wall that says break glass in case of emergency. The word of God is deep in our hearts and our minds each and every day of our lives. We mull it over. We think about it. We have our devotion on it. It is something living and breathing each and every day in our lives. We speak our words then and carry out our deeds in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that means through faith in him. That means that we do it as his representatives. It means that we carry out those Christian virtues that are Christ and put over it that binding love that is Christ, and we do everything, whatever it is, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify Christ. We do everything never to bring shame to his name or to his work, but to cling not only just to the child, but to what that child means in our lives. The joys and the sorrows that he brings us and that he experienced himself. The path he blazed for us. The obstacles he overcame for us that enables us to overcome them as well in our lives. The Holy Spirit guides and motivates us for our lives as the children of God. That was true in 2017. And we know as we stand on this last day of the year that it will also be true in 2018. Oh, we will fail in these Christian virtues. We'll fail in this binding love. We did in 2017 and we will in 2018. But forgive as God forgave you. What a blessing in the new year that we can keep going to that well. That we can keep going and drawing deep from that forgiveness, from those graces and that binding love that we have in our Savior Jesus. Christian living is living in the graces and love that are the child in Bethlehem. It is showing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It is putting love over it all. It is giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The gift of the Christ is more than the gift of a child. Jesus is not merely the source of every blessing. Jesus is every blessing. Amen.